Blog Talk Radio.
Bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Redemption Higher Dimensions radio broadcast. I'm Linda Shula, the evangelist for the hour, and I praise God that you have joined together with me for the midday message that we have entitled The Law of the Spirit. The Law of the Spirit. Don't want you to get afraid because we're using the entitled the broadcast with the word law. Many people kind of draw back when you hear the word law. But in this case, on this broadcast, we're going to be talking about more so of the law of the Spirit that is in Christ Jesus, which is a good thing. The law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus is a good thing for us as we understand the fulfillment of the law being in Christ Jesus. So let's go before the throne of grace, and then right after that, we'll get into the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we say thank you today for this glorious opportunity to be alive. Thank you for settling our hearts, God, where we're able to maintain our peace, maintain our joy, maintain, God, in you and walking in the Spirit. It is only because of you, God, that we live, we move, and we have our being. So today, God, we're asking that your presence of the Holy Spirit would just work in and through all of us, and that you will give us grace for today, that we may be able, God, to accomplish the things that you've called us to do in the earth. Father, we are praying and mediating on the behalf of those that are sick, those that are troubled in some kind of way, God. We pray that the Holy Spirit would just comfort their hearts, and that you, God, would send healing to each of them, that you would give them what they need, God, all that they need that pertains to life and godliness. Thank you for ruling in the affairs of men and ruling in our hearts, God, causing your will to be done in the earth. Thank you, Lord, that you encourage us and increase our understanding. We bless you today and honor you with our lives. May you, Lord, fulfill your good purpose in our lives, the good pleasures of your word, that we may bear fruit, God, that we may be an example, that we may be a light to those, Lord, that are not in Christ, that you would save to the utmost. So we bless you today, and we honor you with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, thank all of you for tuning in to the broadcast. We're talking about the law of the Spirit. I want to first begin to describe the two different laws that we live under in this life, in this world. Actually, I should say the two different laws that we can choose to live from. There are two different laws that at work in life. Now, there are many laws. There's the law of gravity. There's a law of rule and all types of things in the world. But when you talk about the laws of the Spirit, the law of the Spirit is very serious, very important for our lives. The Bible talks about the law of sin and death. There's a law that produces death. There's a law that produces life. God has given us the choice to choose from one of those laws that we live up under. Now, when Christ came, he fulfilled the law that would bring us death because of the decisions that we make in sin, the decisions that we make that brings us sin. There's a law that you can operate under that will bring death to your life, and there's a law that you can operate under that will bring life to your life, and Jesus made it so. Let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 8, and let's go ahead now. We could begin at the first verse, but we really want to take the key point from the second verse. Romans chapter 8, but we're going to start at verse 1, but the key points will be from verse 2 on down. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, this right here distinguishes the two laws that we have to choose from. See, there's a law that you can walk under in the flesh, and there's a law that you can walk under in the Spirit of Christ. Now, we talk about the Spirit of life. That's the law that is fulfilled in Christ. And that law has been given to us because of Christ's love. See, that's the law of love that is in Christ Jesus. So let's keep reading. Let's go to verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, let's read that again. For the law of the Spirit. See, again, that's why we entitled the message, the law of the Spirit. Because in this life, you are walking, you and I are both living, walking under some type of law. And whatever law that you are living under, that is the law that's going to govern your life. That is the law that's going to determine even your afterlife. So Christ has given us this message for the law of the Spirit of life. I mean, I don't know a person who does not want life. We're talking about life here. And the only reason why we're talking about death is because we're describing what sin does to us when we continue to walk in darkness or we continue to walk any other way contrary to the life that Christ Jesus has set forth for us in perpetuating for our sins, covering our sins, forgiving us of our sins. I don't know what person doesn't want life. Life is in Christ no matter what. Because when we're in darkness, when we're in sin, we're living under the law of sin that brings death. So it's the law of death. But when you receive Jesus Christ into your life, you receive the law of life that is in Christ Jesus. Let's keep reading. Again, I got to reiterate again. We in Romans chapter 8, verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, there's a law of sin and death. Christ has set us free from that by making the decision to live for him. We live for Jesus. Therefore, now we have life. We have life. He's given us his word. We can bear fruits of righteousness now because Christ lives in us. We have the word that helps us. Let's look at verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, according on the account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. See, Jesus went to the cross to take away the law of sin and death. So that's why when we receive Jesus Christ into our lives, we receive the life because he's already paid the price. He's already fulfilled the law of sin and death that we deserve for sinning. We deserve death for sinning. Every single day of our lives, any thought you have is unholy, unclean, anything, just pride, whatever. We deserve death for those things. But Christ has given us life. See, the law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus. We live by the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. We receive the Spirit. The Word of God is the Spirit that keeps our lives going because Jesus gives us life. He doesn't take away life. We don't have to do as other religions or some other, people may conjure up to do. And sacrificing their lives. Christ has already done that. So we go a little further. It says, why did he do this? He condemned sin in the flesh, verse 3. Why did he do this? Verse 4 says, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. I want to stop right there. And then we're going to go where it says, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, the reason why Jesus Christ condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous is required. See, there's a righteous requirement under the law. Now, we're talking about the law of the Old Testament. I'm talking about the law of the Old Testament now. We're distinguishing that. And see, that's what Christ came to help us to stop living under the law of the Old Testament, but to live in the law of the Spirit, Christ Jesus, where he has released grace on our lives now, where we don't have to do all the effort in trying to live the law of the Old Testament. Christ has given us his grace. That's why we live in the Spirit now. We receive the Spirit of grace. So that what? Verse 4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. There's a righteous requirement of the law. That God is so holy that he wants us to live righteous. That's a righteous requirement under the law. But we couldn't fulfill it. And the law of the Old Testament couldn't fulfill it in us because we just read it was weak. The law was weak because the sinful nature was so strong in human nature that even the law that required us to do everything right, to be holy and to be blameless, we still could not keep it in the flesh because the law was demanding death because we could not keep it, could stay straight. None of the patriarchs could not be perfected and be perfect enough to keep the righteous requirements of law. That's why we read in that the law was weak through the flesh. Let's look at verse 3 again. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his only son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Jesus did it all for us. And that's how he was able to condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. That's why he imputed his righteousness in us. The righteousness requirement might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So there's an obedience there. There's an obedience there. All God wants is our faith to work in obedience. That's that faith that works love. So we go, verse 6 says, for to be carnal-minded is death, but to be spiritual-minded is life and peace. We don't want to stay carnal-minded. That's why the Bible says a person that loves God and you're saved, you belong to God, and the book of 1 John, I believe it's 2 John, we don't keep sinning. We don't keep sinning when we really love God. Although all have sinned and fallen short of glory of God, we don't keep sinning. That's what it means. And basically what it's explaining is that we don't have a desire to keep sinning. We don't have a desire. Our desire changes, and God helps our lives. So we don't want to remain carnal-minded, even though we are being sanctified in the whole process of this salvation walk with Christ. He sanctifies us along the journey where he's purging out and cleansing and delivering so that we won't have a desire to keep sinning. Because what? The law of the Spirit of life is in Christ because we want life. We don't want death. So it says in verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So that's why Jesus had to come and transform us with the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ, because our carnal mind can't satisfy God. We think things that's not holy is contrary to God. It's enmity, as we just see the scripture, to God. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus transforms us to not desire the things that is enmity against God. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, the new life in Christ that we have. So we make efforts and we strive for the mastery, not working for our salvation, but to walk in the obedience of Christ and love him enough to allow the Holy Spirit through grace to work in us so that he can take these desires and mindsets out of us that's contrary to him. Now, we look at verse 9. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So we are not in the flesh now. We're walking in the Spirit with Christ because we're joint heirs and we sit in heavenly places with him. So we belong in the Spirit where we set our affections on things above. We're always thinking about heavenly things. We're always thinking about spiritual things. We're always thinking about the things of God. God is always on our mind when you're a believer. He'll always be on your mind. He shall always be on your mind. And even in situations where you're being tempted or you're being tried, Christ should always be on your mind. That's walking in the Spirit of life in Christ. And the Bible says that he makes a way of escape for us. So we walk in the Spirit of Christ. It says, the latter part of verse 9 says, again, let's read verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You don't belong to Christ if you don't have his Spirit.
because Spirit is the Holy Spirit is the one. He's the one that leads and guides you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is the comforter that ministers to you, and you can hear God's voice, and God leads and guides you. You need the Spirit of Christ inside of you. Verse 10 says, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead to sin, but if the Spirit is life, but the Spirit of life of righteousness. Let's read verse 10 again. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Because Christ is living inside of us. You know, when Christ don't live in a person, that's why you have all of these mass murders and serial killers and some other things in the world that just can't even be named. Because people don't have the Spirit of Christ to understand the letter of love, his love letter, his redemption. When you don't have Christ, you do anything. We shared another scripture today. We read that before we get off the broadcast. Because the Bible talks about, in Ephesians chapter 1, it talks about how we were once among those that did all of these worldly things, and we were going in the way of our own lust and indulging in the lust of the flesh and our own desire. But because of God's great love for us, we're going to read that. His great love for us, he condemned sin in the flesh, took away our transgressions, and has given us a new life. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Let's just stay right here, and then we'll turn to Ephesians to read that before the broadcast ends. That is a beautiful scripture we're going to read, because it is because of God's great love that he has given us life in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the law of life in the Spirit of Christ. So we read a little further here. We're back in Romans 8, chapter 8. Let's look at verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Christ gives us the Spirit. You know, there's strongholds in our lives where the enemy will try to grip you. Even let's think of a believer before they were saved, all of us had strongholds that we couldn't get rid of. Even now in our saved life, whatever strongholds that the enemy try to hold you captivity to, it cannot hold you. Because Christ sets you free. That's why I said, but if the Spirit of him who dwells in you, the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus dwells in you, he who raised up Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Because the Holy Spirit will raise you up against the powers of darkness. Nothing will be able to hold you down. Yeah, saints get themselves into some stuff too, but it can't hold them because the Spirit of Jesus Christ always is dwelling in them to raise them up from whatever is trying to hold them in captivity. Chains have to be broken. Verse 12 says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. See, this is the contrast of living by the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of the life that is in Christ Jesus. We will live. And we live according to the desires of our flesh and everything that we want to do and everything that we want to say. We will die. That's the sinful way. That's living according to the flesh. That is blind in the world of darkness that do not know Jesus. Because there's a spirit that God gives you that quickens you, that helps you, that delivers you, that sanctifies you, that gives you the grace to make it, to press forward, to overcome. That's why the Spirit, we just read the first verse in Romans, says there is therefore now no condemnation. You're not under condemnation when you're in Christ Jesus because you're walking in the Spirit. And Christ is helping you through each time. So there's no room for any condemnation because you're walking in the Spirit, and Christ sees and knows that by his righteousness being imputed inside of you, that you will overcome. You have all throughout your whole life to overcome. You're not on anybody's time clock to overcome. You're on Jesus' time clock to overcome. and you will overcome. So Christ says he has overcome the world. So verse 13 says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Yeah, because the appetites of the flesh causes us to go in a lot of areas, make decisions that doesn't reflect God's glory. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. We put to death the deeds of the body that causes us to want to run after the appetites of the flesh. Sinful things that breaks God's heart. And we remain there. People in sin, people that don't know Christ, that have not been born again, they remain in sin. They're living in their sins. We are not in our sins. Well, we are in Christ Jesus. When you know the Lord, you're walking in the Spirit. You're walking in the Spirit. And he does not count your sins against you. Because, again, he cleanses you. He sanctifies you. He says, now are you clean through his word. So you're not constantly sinning. You're overcoming the sin. Each day you pray for that grace, you're overcoming the sin. And this is a good message to talk about the law of the Spirit, because this is a good message to help people understand the teachings about sin. And people are just so afraid of teaching, listen to the preachings of about sin, the teachings about sin. Not difficult when you're just teaching the truth of how God feels about it and what does the Word have to say about it and the grace God gives us to overcome. It's not difficult to talk about sin. It's not a scary message. Many people are afraid to listen to messages about sin. You post something about sin on the internet, you know, people just shy away from it. But you need to understand the difference of the law of the Spirit of sin that brings death versus the law of the Spirit of life in Christ that delivers you from sin, that cover us in our sins. Cover us and deliver us from our sins. That's the law of the Lord. He's not condemning you. Sin is there in the world. And the Bible says, he that said he do not sin is a liar. So God covers all areas of sin. No, he don't want us to sin, as he said. He that, you know, belong to God, you don't keep on sinning. Then he covers it to let you know that you will sin. Then he says that all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So God covers it all the way around, because he doesn't want pride to set in into someone. I was listening to a broadcast recently where, you know, they were given the scriptures that, you know, when we are in Christ, we do not sin, period. And at the same time, within the prayer, they were repenting, asking God to forgive us of our sin. So we have all of the contrast of how God wants us to view these things. But we're walking in the light of Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit that's in Christ. Let's go a little further here. Let's look at verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, and we're in Romans chapter 8. Verse 16 says, the Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also be glorified together. Now, we want to go to another scripture here. But let's look at verse 16. The Spirit of him bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Because of the Holy Spirit, that's why. That's because of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at, real quickly here. We got to move real quickly. Let's just stay in Romans right here then. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Right here. Then we're going to go to Galatians after this. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. And let's look at verse 14. Let's start at verse 14. Romans chapter 6, verse 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. See, that's very important right here. Now, Paul is giving instructions here how to present our members of the instruments of our, the members of our instruments, which is our body parts and everything, our whole faculty unto righteousness to God. So when you get in verse 14, he says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Because grace is the spirit. I'm telling you, grace is the spirit of Christ that just comforts you and loves you and helps you and supports you, encourage you to show us and to help us to understand exactly what will happen if we don't walk in the spirit, if we, you know, remain in darkness. Let's take a sinner that's not even saved, that don't even know Christ. If you remain and keep doing those things that you're doing, you're going to die in your sins. Then you're going to lose out on eternal life. For sin with the body of Christ, because you're walking in the spirit of Christ now, you're walking in the spirit of the law in Christ, Jesus, that gives life, sin shall not have dominion over you. But if you don't, if you're walking in life without Jesus Christ, and you in sin, and of course you are if you're not a believer, that sin at some point in your life is going to have dominion over you because you don't have the grace of Jesus Christ to deliver you. Let's go a little further. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves to obey, you are the one slave whom you obey, whether sin leading to death or the obedience leading to righteousness? And that's why we talked about obedience earlier, because there's a decision that we have to make. There's a decision that we have to make. That's why the body of Christ don't judge each other. We are there to help lift each other up, to encourage one another, to bless one another, because we know that grace, the spirit of grace is working in each and one of our lives. And we need that. God is dealing with each and every one of us. So when you judge another brother or a sister, you're setting yourself up to be judged by God. You're bringing yourself under condemnation yourself. That's why you can't judge anybody. Because you're going to bring yourself under that same judgment. Because, see, God is at work in the spirit of grace with the believer that's working on him. And then as we're going to go through the scripture in Ephesians that even tells us we were once like those that were without Christ. So when you were without Christ, you didn't want anybody judging you and talking bad about you and saying that you're no good and you're never going to be mounting anything and you're going to die in your sins. No, that's not the case. Somebody was praying for you. And that's how you were able to be saved now. So that's why he says, shall we sin because of all, keep sinning because we have grace? See, grace, people, you know, are afraid to talk about grace as well because, see, grace is so powerful. Grace is so powerful because God keeps giving you grace every time you sin. Like, his grace never runs out. Like, grace never runs out. I need you to really get it. Grace never runs out on a believer's life. You may want it to be. I'm sorry, not talking about you, but there are people that want it to be. When they're judging you, their hearts are not right. They're judgmental. They're naysayers. They may want it to be, but grace never runs out on a believer's life, on believers' lives that love God, that are walking in obedience. They may not be perfect, but they have a perfect heart to desire the perfection of Christ to walk in that righteousness. You don't know what people feel about their sins or their condition or the situation that they're in. That grace, that's why God gives it to us. Because, you know, our frame in the Bible says that, you know what, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. He just let you know that. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Because, see, the wages of sin is death. When you look over here in the 23rd verse of Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's why we have to compel men to come into the kingdom, because they are paid for their sins. They're paid for their sins in death, eternal death. Now, we looked at here, let's go to, we're going to look at verse 16 here. Romans chapter 6, I think we looked at verse 14. For since you're not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. We looked at verse 14. Let's go to verse 16. Let's look at 16 again. Do you not know that whom you present yourself to obey, you are the one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to life and righteousness? Leading to righteousness. You choose Christ, you let Christ live in your life, then you're choosing the obedience, which life is now going to lead to righteousness. Verse 17, God, to be thanked, but thanks be to God, another translation. Though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Yes, when we heard the words of Christ, thank God now. We obey from the heart. The words of Christ, the letter of Christ, the doctrine of Christ. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Now we're slaves of righteousness. We want to do everything right by God. We just let God have his way in our life. We're just slaves to Jesus. Yeah, I'm a slave to Jesus to do right, righteousness, slaves to righteousness. Now we're going to go ahead and jump to another scripture here. Let's go to Galatians. Well, you know what? We're still in Romans. Might as well flip the page over right here. Romans chapter 7. I'm sorry. Just got to get it in. Romans chapter 7. And we want to look at verse 4. Start there. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. I got to read that again. No stumbling in it. This is a beautiful scripture for us. Beautiful scripture for us. Let's look at it again. Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit unto God. Let's look at verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions, which were aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit. Fruit of death, but now we have been delivered from the death, from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the spirit and not in the oldness of the letter, which means the letter of the law that killeth. The Bible says that the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. Because see, life is in the spirit of Christ. When the law came, it was the law that came to condemn sin in the flesh. Pay for your sins. But when Christ came, now we have the spirit to live in the newness of life. And it was something else I wanted to reiterate here. Verse 6 says, but now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by. When we were baptized in Jesus Christ, we died to the law of the letter that said we had to pay for our sins. We went down and identifying in Jesus' name from the old ways of life, taking on the new perspective and the new mind to be obedient to the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. See, God has given us life anew in Christ Jesus, but there is still an obedience there. Because we have decisions that we still make. He still gives us free choices to decide if we want to obey him or not. There's always that decision that Christ wants us to make. Just like you do when you first decide to receive him into your life. There's a decision also to decide to receive life or to receive death of, you know, that sin that leads to death. But we can decide to receive the life that is in Christ Jesus. This is some good scriptures in here. Now, when you read a little further, you can go to verse 7. We're not going to go there, but Paul is talking about, of course, the law, even though the law was powerless to help us get out of sin because it was showing us and pointing us through the Ten Commandments to show that we're sinners, doesn't mean that the law was bad. Doesn't mean that the law is totally done away with. No, it was fulfilled in Christ. where we can look at Christ now, the reflection of the holiness of God in Christ Jesus. All that God is in his holiness and his righteousness is reflected in Christ Jesus, is radiating from Christ Jesus. The Bible says, you know, that he has shown us and given us everything that we need, and he's reflection in the face of Jesus. The light of God's glory reflected in Jesus. The light of God's holiness reflected in Jesus, because Jesus died for our sins and fulfilled the law and took away the punishment that we deserve for our sins. So now you just say, just love Jesus and obey Jesus. Just obey. Obey God because you love him. Scripture says that we obey him because we love him. There's not a force to obey God. We obey God through Christ Jesus because we love him. That's why the Holy Spirit can convict us of righteousness and of sin. He's convicting the world of righteousness and of sin. Righteousness because they should know and understand. See, people can understand and want to know and read books and do everything like they want to in life. They can have knowledge of this, that, and be very witty and inventors of all kind of things. Very smart. But when it comes to the Bible and understanding the word of God to receive Jesus Christ so that they can have life, all of a sudden they become illiterate, don't understand it. And so that's why God is giving chances for people to repent. He's long-suffering because he knows that people have the ability to understand and receive this word. So we want to go to another scripture here. I think our time is going to expire yet, just a few, but not yet. We have some time here. Still have some time here. Let's see. Yeah, we still have a little bit of time here. Let's go to, now we can go to Galatians. We can go to Galatians. And as we are turning to Galatians again, we were just reading in Romans chapter 7, that verse 4. See, what God is telling us, we died to the law, but we've been raised now to bear fruits in Christ in righteousness. That's what he wants us to know, to bear fruits of righteousness. So we're going to Galatians chapter 5. You know, God wants us to understand his word. Jesus Christ came that we may have life and life more abundantly. John 10:10. Thief comes, steal, kill, and destroy. But Christ came that we have life and have it more abundantly. And he's given us the means whereby we can understand and do so. And that's through his word. That's through his word. And so we stick with God no matter what betides our life, what comes or goes. We just learn to stick with God. Because God is still able to deliver us. God is still able to sanctify us. God is still able to have mercy, forgive us, strengthen us, and make us strong. It's only in God through Christ Jesus. Jesus has done it all for us. So Galatians chapter 5, let's start at verse 16. Let's see. Galatians 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's just stop right there and take our time now at the end of going through a lot of scriptures, but we still have about two more we want to go through. But if you walk in the Spirit, you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh, because the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is helping you. We're receiving the Word as life that helps us. The flesh doesn't want to do right. The flesh doesn't want to live holy. The flesh doesn't love anything about sanctification, Christ Jesus giving us righteousness. The flesh don't want to do it. But the Spirit is willing. Flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing, because your spirit inside of you, your soul knows, I need this. I need this to make it. Your soul have wisdom when you have Christ Jesus. Your soul knows this is the right way. This is the way. Jesus, yes, is the way, the truth, and the life. You feel very good when you have the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit is working life inside of you. You're not working under the law of sin and condemnation that leads to death. You're walking in the spirit of the law of life in Christ Jesus, that he has given us his word to enjoy and love, seed of righteousness that leads to life. See, righteousness tends to life. It gives you life. Just work the righteousness Christ in love. So he's given us the how to do that in loving one another. We can go up to verse 14 and see that. Look at verse 14 in Galatians 5:14. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14 says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." See, loving one another, that's working the life in Christ, the law of life that is in Christ when you love one another. When you let Christ fulfill you in the spirit, how you should think toward one another, how we should act towards one another. That's walking in the light, the newness of life in Christ, the law you want to walk in, the law of love. But look what it says in verse 15, "But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another," because that's the world. Christ has given us a whole new perspective in how we should live in this life. So we go again. Verse 15 says, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary one to another, so that you not do the things that you wish." The flesh lusts against the spirit, pulling back like a tug of war. Oh, you know, the spirit just pulling back, saying, "I'm going to do it because I love this new life that I have in Christ." Oh, but the flesh saying, "Yeah, but you know you still desire things right here." Then the spirit pulled back, said, "Yeah, but I'm not going to lose my soul for you. I'm going to have eternal life in Christ." Then the flesh pull you back and say, "Yeah, but it only takes just a little bit. You can enjoy the pleasure for a season." Then the spirit pull you back and say, "No, I'd rather Jesus Christ, because he's given me new life in Christ, and I love who I am. I have joy, I have peace, and I have eternal life." So that tug of war back and forth, the flesh against the spirit. It's going to be like that till we exit out of here. But you gain ground and become stronger. Verse 18 says, "But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law." Now what this means is that when you are led by the spirit, you're not under the law of sin and condemnation. To obey the lust of the flesh, you're not under the law of death. Because Christ sees that you're walking in the spirit. So what he's saying here is that when something come in your life that tries to get you to make a mistake, or you make a mistake, you're not under this law of the letter, you're not under the law of the Old Testament to bring death to your life because of that mistake. Just got to put it straight like it is. But you're walking in the spirit because Christ knows that he's still fulfilling you, that you're going to obey, that you're going to get up, you're going to do right, you're going to get it together. You're going to love God enough that you obey him and you don't want to sin against God. Yes. Have you ever cried? There's saints that have cried because they don't want to sin against God. You love God just that much. Even the conviction of Christ weighs on you. So again, "But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like." And he says, "Which I tell you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." Because God knows that you're working the spirit of this law of love inside of you, this law of gentleness, this law of self-control, long-suffering. See, this is the law that's working inside of us. "For if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." One translation says, "If you live in the Spirit, then keep in step with the Spirit." Let's look at verse 24. We skip over this one. "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desire." We put it to death. And that's all he can say